In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. And they were afraid. They were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Life is full of turning points, and the Holy Scriptures are also full of turning points. There are always points in life where you might have gone one way, but you went the other. And in choosing, things were never the same again. Or, as often is the case, sometimes we don't choose events, the events choose us. John Newton. If you've heard of John Newton, he was the 18th century sailor who would one day write the beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace. He had a turning point in his life. For years, he worked on slave ships, and he lived like a reckless and godless life. He was indifferent to all the suffering that was around him, but then one night, like in today's gospel reading, a violent storm caught him in the North Atlantic. And he was certain that his ship would sink and he would die. But in the darkness, with the waves crashing over the deck, Newton, who had long made fun of faith, he started to believe. It asked God for mercy. The storm eventually calmed, but Newton wasn't the same person he was when he entered the storm. And he later said that moment was the turning point of his life. It set him on a new path that led him away from the slave trade. It actually led him into ministry and eventually into the movement to abolish slavery. And his turning point became a turning point for many, many others. And so we also have two dramatic turning points in today's scripture readings. In our gospel reading, you heard that the apostles had a turning point when they were caught in a great storm in their boat. And we read this 2, sometimes 3 times a year. It's important. Facing the end of their lives, they paradoxically found a new beginning, and they discerned Jesus' presence coming toward them in the darkness. We don't talk as much about the Old Testament reading, which also was a great turning point for the people of God, the Hebrew people. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Isaiah proclaims, "because the Lord has anointed me. He sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, bring up the brokenhearted, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, release the prisoners, and proclaim the good year of the Lord's favor." Please understand the history here. The Jews have been decimated, genocide. They're in exile. They're living in someone else's country. By all appearances, nothing good is happening. And Isaiah says this. He's casting a vision. He's reminding the people of Israel that good is ahead and God's love is boundless, if they can only put God first and seize this turning point. We're all given turning points as individuals and as a community. And sometimes they're dramatic, but other times they're only noticeable when you look back. Maybe you have such turning points. I think that actually we're at such a turning point for the entire Armenian church worldwide. As always, don't let the divisiveness of politics distract you. Politics is dirty, it's divisive, and it's very temporary and fickle. What matters is that our church and faith, which I believe is going through what a theologian called the 500-year rummage sale, the garage sale that every church goes through. And she said that historically, every church faces a crisis every 500 years or so when the invitation from God is to clean house, it's to have a big rummage sale, and it's to decide, church leaders and faithful can decide what to dispose of, what to keep, and what should be kept but reformed to better reflect God's will. Those are big, difficult questions. And so it's much easier to say that that guy's a Turk traitor and that that guy is a informant of the KGB. Those are children's games. This is serious. This is God's church. The actual problem is very easy to say and very difficult to solve and put into practice. The church simply needs to be the church, to do only what we can do. In our digital and distracted and divided age, the world is looking for fulfillment and purpose in their lives, to be a part of something bigger. And guess what? That's all this church is. It has this. It is this. The only place on earth that makes the radical claim that here, the Spirit of God actually comes down and chooses to dwell among and inside his people, inside you and I, and that this directs us and fulfills our lives. That's how it is for me. I'm far from perfect, yet his skin's not here today, she could tell you. The church isn't perfect. Etchmiadzin, definitely not perfect. No one escapes from the slavery to anxieties, addictions, sins, and shames, but the church and only the church claims that we are a hospital for souls. We're the medicine, we have the medicine of the Holy Scriptures and prayer and the power of our presence with each other, which binds the brokenhearted, frees the captives, and releases the prisoners. The whole world wants to be special and loved in the eyes of God and the eyes of each other, and the church, and only the church, proclaims God's special favor on the lonely, on the downtrodden, and the afflicted. But in the meantime, we are in the midst of our 500-year rummage sale, this turning point. How can we, in the years ahead, fulfill our great opportunity, our vocation really, to be Christ's healing and reconciling body to each other and to those whom God has called us to serve? How can we as members of St. Hagop Armenian Church and sons and daughters of Etchmiadzin, how can we help realize a turning point where our church can truly be the church? And as we ponder these questions, may we carry in our hearts again the prophet's words that we began with. The Spirit of the Lord is here, even now, among our people. We've been anointed to proclaim Christ and the year of the Lord's favor, to set the captives free, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.